You know, something that was just a joy to Brother Gene's heart was that there were seven churches. You know, there are seven churches that meet here on Saturday and Sunday combined. And I don't know how many are represented here today, but I'll tell you, it's just such a, you know, that's unusual. And in the kingdom of God, though, it's not going to be unusual. You know, it should be the norm. I mean, we're, you know, God brings us together. It is something in this message this morning. We began this morning, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And turn with me in your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. It was interesting that on two separate occasions, Pastor Gene and I spoke about his season at Braeburn Valley Baptist Church. I didn't realize until I read the obituary that he'd actually been here for, you know, 13 plus years. It was the longest serving pastorate that he had had. But he said this on two different occasions. He said, I've served at a lot of churches, some of them fairly large congregations. Braeburn Valley Baptist has been the church where I've experienced the most love. And he said, it's been a loving church. John addresses the church in this passage as beloved. And the word beloved has at its root the Greek word agape, which those of you, you've studied your Bible and you know that's that Greek word is the word that is used for God's love. It's a divine love. It's a supernatural. It's an unconditional. It's not even a love that we can produce within ourselves. It comes from God. It's the divine love. In fact, it's the love that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:5, Paul wrote, and the Spirit of God has poured his love into our hearts and lives, and we need that. So when John addresses the church as beloved, he is emphasizing that the love that God has for us, and it is sourced from God. God loves us. I don't know about you, what was your first experience when you came to Jesus Christ? I believe for me, one of the first is just the realization that there was God and he loved. I was very young, just, you know, 6 years old, and I didn't, you know, you don't understand doctrine, you don't understand all the theology, but you have that very basic understanding that you know, God loves. And that's what we need more than, you know, more than anything else. It's not that we need bigger churches or more programs or, you know, those things can be good. But what we really need is we need the love of God. And so John begins this letter, you know, beloved. He begins this letter, too, with an invitation to fellowship. If you go back to chapter 1, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when we think about the fellowship that we have, and it's wonderful that what we are seeing here this morning is a fellowship of believers. This is not a fellowship of different churches. We need to understand that. We may call ourselves something else. John identifies us, all of us, corporately in his letter as believers. And together as believers, we share in fellowship with one another. But love is to be the foundation of that fellowship. So John, he writes, beloved, let us love one another. And then he goes on to say, for love is of God. When John wrote, for love is of God, he was clearly identifying the nature of that love that is to be shared. In fact, he's identifying the source even of that very first word, beloved. That's agape. That's God's own love. To say for love is of God, is to say that God is the very essence of love. In other words, the very nature of God is one of love. And so it's the love that exists. In fact, it's a love that comes from God. Outside of God, you would never have agape love. God is the source. Now, I grew up on a, those of you who have been a part of our ministry for over the years, you know that I grew up on a cattle ranch in Montana. It was a large ranch, a lot of cattle and a lot of land, but there was one particular pasture. That pasture, it would, if you were to start and you were to go around the pasture, it was 20 miles all the way around, that one pasture. And to get to that pasture, you had to ride your horse 5 miles to get to the pasture, and then 20 miles around the pasture, and then another 5 miles to get back home. So it made for a very long day. I'm not sure, I might have camped out there a few times and just, you know, it was a good, it could be a good two-day experience. But within that pasture, we named our pastures. This particular pasture, we called it Scott's Springs. I do not know how it got the name, but I do know that within the pasture, there was a source of water that came up out of the ground. And it was the most wonderful water. As you're going around and you're hot and it's been, you're tired, and I would go out of my way to go over to that spring, and there I would get down off of my horse, and I would dip my hand down into the water, and I would take the water up and just enjoy the flavor of the most wonderful water. And you know, sometimes we buy bottled water, and it says sourced at the spring. When John wrote, "Love is of God," John was identifying the source of the love that we are to share in fellowship with one another. I do not believe that this love, it cannot be self-manufactured. If that were true, then Hollywood would go out of business. It cannot be self-manufactured. And yet the divorce rate, when you think about it, among the celebrity couples is actually double the national average. And so we recognize, obviously, is John is not writing about a love that's something that we put on. It is not something that we self-manufacture. It's not an act. It is something that comes from God, flows down, and is shared among each other. Beloved, let us love one another with the love that God has as the source. So Jesus wrote to the church of Ephesus, and we all know those seven letters to the seven churches. That first letter to Ephesus, I think that most of us, when we read that letter, you start off in the letter, and Jesus is commending the church, in essence, and he's saying, you know, I see your labor. He said, I see your works. I see your patience. I see that you have not endured, you have not, you know, allowed, and you have not tolerated the false teachers. But then he gets to the end of the letter. He said, but this I have against you. This I have against you. You have left. What did you leave? He says, you left that first love. It was interesting. We were going through that hymn, page 98. And it said in that hymn that I have this tendency to wander from God. And when you wander from God, that and there is a tendency. We do have that tendency that we can easily wander away from God. And here's what happens when we wander. We're actually wandering away from the source. And so what Jesus said in that letter to the church of Ephesus, he said, you know, you've left your first love. Therefore, he said, you need to repent. In other words, you need to head back to the source. You need to come back. You need to be restored to that place of first love. This is the greatest hindrance, or it's the obstacle to fulfilling the mandate of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. The problem is never the source. The problem is never God. The love of God is always pure. The source is always available. The source is an endless supply of pure and divine love. There is never a problem at the source. The problem is when we stray from the source. You have left. That means you have moved away from that source of love. And this is what we must always guard against. We've been studying Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and in the first chapter, Paul is thanking God for the love that he had heard about. He's in prison, and he said, you know, I've heard of the love that you have for one another, the love that you have for the saints. That's the same church. What happened? Well, something happened between Paul's letter and Jesus' letter because they had left that. They continued to exist as a church. They continued to go on and do what the world would consider great things as a church. It would seem like they were acing everything, but then when they got to this issue of love, there was a failing grade. And essentially Jesus said, if you fail in that respect, you failed as a church. And he said, you need to come back to the love that you have left. They had left their first love. It is not possible for the love to flow between each other if the source has been cut off. In other words, if the love relationship, and we talk about that as the vertical relationship between Jesus and us, between God and us, that relationship must be right. And if that relationship is not right, we can never have that horizontal, that love, that sharing of love with one another that our Lord wants us to have. And so we have to think about it in terms of the relationship with the source must be right before we can fulfill this beloved, let us love one another. That spring in the pasture, it so happened that spring fed a lake. It was a beautiful lake. But at the end of that lake, there was what we refer to as a spillway. Now, that spillway was there for a purpose. It was there so that the lake wouldn't get so full that the dam would break. That water would spill over the spillway, and that was essential. And really, it was just a sign that the lake was full when the water would run over the spillway. I want you to think just for a moment. You and I, we have this amazing source of love in God, there must be a spillway. We are to be the overflow. When the love of God is coming down and it's filling our lives, it's to fill our lives to the point that around each other there is to be the overflow of God's love among each other. The spillway. When Pastor Gene, when we spoke and he said that he had experienced more of this love at Braeburn, it stuck with me. And I began to think about that. And I will tell you this, among pastors and those, you may have some pastors here, you know how we are. We'll say something, and sometimes we read between the lines. We may not come right out and say exactly, you know, point blank of what might have happened, but you know how it is. We can kind of read between the lines. And when he said this, that at Braeburn he had experienced this wonderful love that he had not experienced, he said, I've been to other churches that are much larger, but they just didn't have that love. And I had to wonder, what experiences did he have? I have discovered, and maybe some of you have discovered, is a church can be a hurtful place. We can experience wounds and we can experience heartache because the people that we think should love don't. And sometimes our spirit and our hearts are wounded. Now, he didn't come right out and he never said that I was ever wounded at a church, but I will tell you, my experience is many times if there's a church where there is not love, you know, that pastor, he's a target. And I think it was a wonderful haven of love when he came to Braeburn, that it must have been just a place of It was like, I'm among people who love me. I believe that must have meant so much to him, probably more than what was really conveyed in our conversation. And so I just would convey to you, you're here, and you know that I know that he greatly appreciated the love that he received over those years that he was here. And so the message, very simple this morning, the very simple message. It's not just the message to Braeburn or to any particular church. It's to the believers, to all of us as believers in Christ Jesus. The message is just very simple. The message is stay the course and don't stray from the source, okay? Stay the course, don't stray from the source. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, that's the born-again experience. How many of you here this morning would say, I've been born again of the Spirit of God? You know, you're here and you know that God has touched your life. But he's filled you with his love. Stay close to the source. Stay close to Jesus. Walk with him. When things come along in life and you begin to recognize, as the hymn said, that you're prone to wander, when you recognize what that is, you have to deal with it. You have to take it before the Lord. Jesus, he said, you've got to repent. There has to be a turning away from some things in life. Sometimes when they hinder the love process, when they hinder us from being close to Jesus. So stay close to the source.